Hi, I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna bail.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
And poop.
Poop.
Head.
Ooh. Oh, back at it again, are we? So soon?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to release, like, it's going to take you forever just to do one. And then, like, this one will be, like, another month.
If you're trying to reverse psychology me, then maybe.
It may or may not work. It's always worth a try.
You know, I mean, it's hard to say if what it did was work. But something will happen.
I'll make sure of it.
Yeah.
Can't ever track me. That's what makes you lovable.
Yep. I like to plant alternate calendars around my apartment so that when people find them, they'll get the wrong idea about where I'm at.
You'll just never know. You never know where my head's at, where I'm at. You won't know. And I like that.
Yep, that's why I've got all the calendars. That's why I
subscription
to. I've got a monthly subscription to calendars.
Hi, cutie. Hold on 1 second. Yes, dear. Good morning. Okay. Well, hold on. If you let me take a picture. No, just no face. I love you. Look really cute and sleepy right now. Okay, no smile now. Just
stop smiling.
Yeah, Jason says, stop smiling.
Stop it.
Gosh, you're cute. Oh my gosh, you're cute. Okay, yes. You can watch a movie because I'm recording, so it's your lucky day.
Movie? Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to watch
my show downstairs. You can watch a movie downstairs. That's your only option. Or perish.
Perish.
I'm just kidding. it'll be funny later in life. Okay, I'm recording.
I know, but...
Like, right now.
I know, but why can't I watch a show?
Just watch one movie downstairs and we'll talk about it later. That's your only option. Eat, go, and let the dogs out and then let them hang out with you. But watch out for the muddy paws. Okay, love you, bye. Go. Oh my god, his hair's great. We gotta use that. Hey, close the doors. Have kids, they say.
Yep, those douchebags.
They shouldn't say that. Hey, have you gone out to lunch with mom and dad recently, or did you give that up?
Oh, that's you mention it. What a incidence, Co. Oh, shit. I fucked all that up. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I practiced that so many times, and
I practiced in front of the cats.
Yeah, and I held the cats in front of my mirror, and I tried to move their mouths so it looked like they were saying it.
That's why your cats run.
Yeah.
No That's more mirror talk.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them. Yeah. I can be kind of a douche.
Well, when it's set to kind of. When I got the douchometer, which is next to my bed, sometimes I'll wake up, it's set to extreme, usually.
usually
there's the knob's broken off and the cats are just playing with it. And I'm like, well, I don't know what it's at.
I don't know what level I'm at.
I'm just going to go outside.
I'm going to wing it.
Go ahead and do this because I'm scheduled to work, so I've got to be there. So I'm just going to see what happens.
Do you think, like, if you show up to lunch, like, if you're awake early enough now to go to lunch with mom and dad, like, do you think when you show up, the energy changes?
Oh, for sure. Like, especially since I show up late, I'm sure I'm like a... I'm like a spooky rain cloud showing up. You can, like, they can see it hovering, like they can see it pop up like a half a mile away when it approaches the bypass light. Like, oh shit! And they start like bring the cilantro. No, quick.
And then you walk in, chips. And mom like shakes her head a little, like down her chin's down to angle. Yeah. And she's just like,
Yeah, I could tell because I see the bun lowering. But she lowered a little bit too late, and now I'm onto them. And then also the Mexican waiter gives me the wordless head flick. He's like, yeah, just over there.
Yeah, I don't even want to like interact with you. And you give off that energy of like, not today. And they just know. And you're just like,
well, I give off that gringo, white guy energy. Like, I don't really feel like interacting with this guy. They don't, I don't think they get down to the subtleties of what white people are thinking.
Well, we have to clarify. They always go to a pueblo.
Yeah, yeah.
I say because I don't know what they call it, and they keep changing it, and there's several different ones. I don't know if it's L or me or whatever.
I think it's they pueblo now.
It's they.
We pueblo. We are puebloing.
We. That's the one. Yeah, it's really funny because it sounds like me. this is we pueblo. Whatever.
Houston, we have a pueblo.
We have a pueblo.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, the energy changes. You sit down.
Yeah. I'm sure the energy changes. I'm sure I could storm through a few conversations. I'm just like, consciously avoiding eye contact, and everyone's like having a nice conversation, just like smiling and looking around, and then I'm just like,
This is so funny because I've been at these lunches when I come into town. It's just so fun to observe.
My storm cloud is mighty.
I like that you call it a spooky storm.
Yeah. It's spooky.
And he's got a beard.
It's got a vibe. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I get my vibe. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I cultivate my vibe.
I'm on that. Yeah.
I'm over here. I got some tiny little shears. I'm working on my vibe. So we're vibing out.
It's funny because mine's like opposite. Mine's like sunny and like bright. And like,
yeah, I know. You took it.
I did.
You twinsed me.
I sure did. The fuck, you bet I did.
Yeah, like there was a whole bunch of joviality that mom has saved up.
She did.
And you just bogarted the hell out of that. And there was like a bunch of weird like in the nooks and crannies was all the sparkly creativity. And I was like, oh, I'll take that shit. I got time.
Well, maybe it's a good thing that, I mean, this is going to sound really bad. There's no way to not sound bad about this, but maybe it's a good thing mom had those two miscarriages because maybe they just would have been horrible children. Like, we're so great. They were maybe just.
Yeah, they're nothing. Like, what would have been left? I'm trying to think.
I got like, these gifts. You got those. And we're like, dude, there's nothing for you.
Why? A penchant for thieving? That could be, you know, pretty cool.
Is that even a gift? You know? It is to them. It is to them.
Yeah, I mean, they give themselves a gift every day, the gift of stolen goods.
Oh, it is crazy. Like,
being a criminal is the gift that keeps on giving to yourself.
Well, it is weird to think about because I have four kids and like to think that we would have had two more siblings. Like, it does. It absolutely breaks my heart. I mean, miscarriage is nothing, honestly, to joke about, but it's crazy like that. Like, our lives would have been completely different. Like, just to think about the directions, obviously, there's a lot of different things that change path and direction and all that. Like, would you have been more understood or less understood? I don't think you could have been less understood as a child. But if you'd been a middle misunderstood child, like, would that be different?
I think I could have, like, maybe if the misunderstanding was couched in a little bit of more justified ignorance.
Psychologically,
I could be like, okay, so I'm not getting the necessarily individualized attention that I desperately crave from within, but that's because mom and dad are busy. So, you know, it's not because I'm broken or they're broken. It's because there's just not enough time.
Yeah, and now...
that's my six-year-old self.
Not only did you not have that, but they had plenty of time because there was only two of us. And they still didn't help you because they couldn't because they didn't know how.
Not even close.
No.
Like to the extent, like when I say stuff like I like music and I think we were talking about this before, but I'll be like, I like music. And it's weird because it came from nowhere because you guys aren't really into music. Mom will be like, I like music. I'm like, no. Holy shit. Can you at least not like. See what, like, this is pretty basic. Like, what? huh? And then the fact that, like, as an adult, I had to discover all this and then re-explain it to them, and they're like, what? It's like, in their minds, it's like, there's not a thing. It's like, you're into music? Hmm. Or like, I don't know.
Well, maybe you could try opening up and telling us. I do every day at lunch.
Like, when I do, every time, it's like that movie with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. It's like, you don't, I told you, I said this, damn it, what's the point? I would have given, like, if I had been in that movie, I would have been like, it would have been, that movie would have been called 1.5 Dates. And also, give me my money back for that first one, because I don't want to go halvesies anymore.
No, never again.
Because, like, I wouldn't be able to stand it.
It is funny, though, because you love, like, we can't emphasize this enough, love music and produce it and sing it, and you make songs and you write and all this stuff. And then I am obsessed with, like, enjoying music. I love so much music. I have music all the time. I do it in the car. I have music on in the car. I have music on when I clean. I have music on when I'm cooking. I have music on when I'm in the shower. Like, I can't live without music. Like, music is everything to me. And it's just so funny that we are so into that. And then Dad, like, he listens to talk radio and she listens to books. Like, they literally just don't ever listen to music ever. The only time Dad did, I think we talked about this on another Sipcast one time, where he bought Men at Work, the album, and listened to it. And then that other weird one, it was like almost like a Green Day type thing. I remember the tape. Yes, a tape. And I just remember it. I remember looking at Dad and just being like, he likes music? Like, just for that one little period of time. I think it was just he was trying it out.
He was going through a phase.
I'll try this.
You know, I could be a music listener, maybe. I've really tried it for a couple of decades. I'll give that another shot.
I think it was right after he gave up gum, because remember, like, he found gum in the car and he yelled at everyone and said, no gum ever again, and he never chewed gum again because he meant it.
What a fuddy-duddy. He'll be like, no, I heard a song. I think I heard a song once in 1987.
I heard music.
Yeah, no, it's the same way his dad stopped drinking. What a bunch of quitters. What, you puke your interior once and all of a sudden that's a problem? Oh, man, that's a lightweight.
You find yourself naked in a ditch once and it's so bad. Oh, my goodness.
Wait, you've cracked your skull open 0 times? Oh, what a pussy.
Wow. Wow. Did you even really do anything?
Did you, like, have you even, like, had a beer? Are you sure? It wasn't just water? the whole time?
I think it was water, and you just felt weird, okay?
Yeah, I think you were just trying to be cool, dude. I don't think it, like, I know you say you haven't had a drink in 20 years, but I think you're a pussy.
I'll say it.
Yeah, I'll say it. I'll say it, like, I'll climb on top of your roof and say it. Here, hold my beer.
Goodness me. Now, I like, it's fun when we come into town and have lunch with Mom and Dad, because the kids get to experience the energy shifts and, like, just the dynamic. And we have to have a big table and Dad's all proud. And they're like, we never see him proud. This must be his family. It's like, Jason's over there like, I've been here every Monday. Like, I'm actually... You know what I mean? Like, I'm here, guys. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, this gringo.
Yeah.
I just think it's great. It's just great. They just don't, they probably are so confused about the family dynamic, but then it makes it more real. Like, families are weird, and people are weird, and siblings are different, and it doesn't mean they're not great. You're great, Jason. You're great.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you. In case you haven't been told that recently, because you probably haven't been, because Dad doesn't say stuff like that, and you and Mom are supposed to stay separated.
Is that the rumor going around? I mean, it's probably true.
Oh my God, yeah. It's not a rumor, it's absolute fact, and I told her. I go, she was like, she was here, and she's like, you know, oh no, right before she came, she just came for a quick visit.
I thought it was convenient, like,
two or three days before my birthday,
I walk out the back alley, and I happened to catch her. I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? She's like, oh, you got anything that needs to go to Katrina? I was like, oh, what, you sending out a care package? She's like, Fiona, right now. I was like, oh.
Oh,
cool.
My birthday's in a couple days.
You know, it's just somewhere in the back of my mind, because I really don't give a shit, but there's things like indicate. Like, well, here's a good example. This is a good place to air this out.
Okay, get it out.
It was at work last night. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, I would say something if this didn't just work out in my favor. You're lucky that I'm stoked about this.
You're lucky I don't care.
You're lucky that your fuck up worked out. And now I'm going to go do this. And I'm not going to say anything about it.
Oh my God, I can't. Sorry.
No, that happened last night because we were sitting there. I had literally like, and, okay, so this is guy, I'll call him, I'll drop the C-bomb, Connor is his name.
Dude, he's just a silly Barry at work.
He's got a lot of foibles and stuff, a lot of idiosyncrasies that are just silly. Well, I won't go into too much detail, but he was working yesterday, and at some point I remember him muttering about like he was starting to say around 6 or 6:30, like, oh, if you want to take that next delivery, go ahead. He's back there doing dishes. I was like, oh, are you off the road for the night? He's like, oh no, I'm just doing some dishes. And he said at some point, I'm out at 8. Is my out time there? I don't know when he started, but he scheduled out at 8. It was somewhere around. It was at 7 o'clock. He had started, like, we were kind of slow, and we were in the process of getting a little mini rush. So I don't know, probably around 6:30 or 6:45, he was saying like, oh, let me get out of here because. You know, there's not many deliveries going on. And then 7 o'clock rolled around and we had three, four, or I don't know, when he started to be checked out, three, four deliveries popped up. Then it was five, six or so. And there's only the three drivers. So a mini rush is starting. It's kicking in. It's 7 o'clock. Yeah. You're scheduled out at 8. The manager on duty, who's not been the manager for too long, just keeps on. They both keep rolling. Connor and the manager both keep on rolling, and I'm sitting there looking at the screen, and I'm like, I'm thinking like, what kind of insane person continue, like, okay, you're in the process of letting someone go early, and then a rush starts, and you have plenty of time to abort the sequence and just be like, oh, hey, you want to, I'm pro aborting sequences in some instances. I don't care. You know, I'll say it.
Perfect way to say it. Yeah.
No, like you could totally like stop and go and be like, oh, hey, plenty of times like someone will be leaving when it's their scheduled time to leave, and then a bunch of orders will drop. Like, oh, hey, I'll hang out. I'll take like two deliveries just so you're not slammed.
Yeah.
I'll help out. This is leaving an hour early. We start to get busy, and this is a good time. This is one of Connor's foibles is he doesn't seem to like to make money. This is when it's like, oh, I'm a driver. We're getting busy. Let me take like
that means two, three money. Usually.
Let me take two, three deliveries just before. Like, it'll be nice. I'm going home, but I'll get an extra 10, 15 bucks on my way out the door. Cool. No.
Yeah.
Both he and the managers continue and leave him and let him go out. And I take two quadruples the next runs, just one after the other. And, you know, which I love. I'll take all the deliveries. So I'm like, I'm torn because I'm like, what the fuck are you idiots doing? And please continue to do so. And everybody just shut up. You all make me hate you.
Yeah. Like, you're just sitting here going, and I'm not supposed to say anything?
I shouldn't, because I'm benefiting from this in a way that pleases me. But I would rather you guys don't act like idiots. Like, I would rather just break even and everybody don't act like idiots.
This literally just sounds like such like a... You know, like a duality within you where you're just like, yes, but also?
No, I ended up just taking all the runs and never saying anything because I was like, ah, fuck it. You know, I'll actually have a decent Wednesday. I don't know. Fine.
Gosh, that's so funny. That is really funny. That shows growth. Wow. Yeah. Did you know you had that growth on you?
Yeah, I should get it checked out.
Yeah, whoa. You're like, going to freak
doctor,
some
I'm experiencing
out.
Spiritual and emotional growth. I have cancer of my my health.
Goodness me.
I think I have health cancer. I don't know what that is, but I feel like I have it.
It's a new thing. And it smells.
It's all encompassing. It is. Yeah, it's effervescent. Yeah, so there's a lot of that. And mostly... It's just figuring out that shut up, everybody, including myself. I took my own advice.
Me too.
Yeah. That I looked at me. I just, one day I was on my balcony yelling, shut the hell up. And then, you know, then I went to go to the bathroom, and instead of stopping yelling, shut the hell up like I normally do, I just kept yelling it. And I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror while I was yelling, shut the hell up. And it really hit home. It really seemed like...
It reverberated off of that reflection.
Yeah.
It hit me.
Yeah, I reflected upon that reflection. Mm-hmm. I really didn't expect... There was no explosion of reflections.
then I took a nap.
Yeah, then I went to sleep, and I was still yelling. I was still yelling, shut the hell up. I took my advice to heart, and then to bed.
I bedded
my advice. Yeah. Well, that's how ideas are born. Is by screaming into pillows.
It's the same thing. I mean, if you needed a description.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was so funny that Mom ended up, because she's been wanting to come since Christmas. Like, she thought she was going to come, like, right after us and come
visit. Did she even bring any Apple Works? I don't even know if they were open. I told her to at least stop by Apple Works and take some there.
Yeah, zero. Huh? Zero. Yeah.
See, she can't even respect my birthday week wishes.
Birthday week wishes. It's so funny because I'm like, I always tell the kids, like, it's April, Uncle Jason's birthday. Like, as soon as it's June, I'm like, Dad's, or, Grandpa John's birthday is this month. I just want to make sure that I say it because people have birthdays at the end of the month. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. But I always forget to send cards, even though I know it. And then I forget to call people on the day, even like I just don't process the day on the date, but leading up to it.
Yeah, your kids sent me zero cash. Damn it.
I told them not to this time. Well, so she finally makes it out because there were times.
That's like I rely on that for my budgeting. I know. It's not like it's not a big deal, but it's a deal.
I think about it.
I look forward to that relief.
Financial I didn't relief. Have to work. For that, and thank you.
Yeah, that's a couple months rent right there for me.
Well, it's so funny because she wanted to come out multiple times, and then like something would pop up with the apartments, which it did. I mean, there were big things that she needed to stay for, and then weather was so bad like this winter, but for travel, all that stuff, storms, ice, Dad didn't want her to come out, so it was crazy that she finally was like, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go. And I was like, oh, she's already on the road. Like, she talked about it multiple times, and then things would happen, and I just stopped expecting it.
Wisely, it sounds like the only way that she could do it is to trick herself into doing it.
She really did. She had to trick herself. She just knew she had to be back Tuesday to work at 3 p.m. So I just thought it was so funny. I was like, Mom ends up here on Jason's birthday, and then we were together on your birthday and forgot to call you.
And then mom said some bullshit to Dad, apparently. Like, she said that she texted me or something, because Dad was like, when I was talking to Dad, he was like, oh yeah, your mom said she sent you a message or something. I was like, no.
No, didn't hear anything. Absolute BS, mother. You did not. We did not. She even felt bad, but don't lie. Face. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mom, you know
who felt worse? Me. Because it was actually really nice. Like, I didn't even give a shit. So I'm wired. Like, when my family doesn't, like, it's like, oh, thank you for that gift of just not even bothering me with this crap on my birthday.
Oh, so nice. Yeah, the next day is a better day. It's kind of like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, please do. In the future, please wish me a happy birthday the day after. I would write, like, your gift to me is not even bringing it up.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a note here. April 8th.
Yeah. That will be your gift. Is just retroactively just
it
being
is
like,
nice.
Oh, hey.
It's kind of like after a holiday, the candy is half off or 75% off the next day. That's when we all should be celebrating. And that's what we do here, actually. Valentine's Day and all that stuff. It's like, wait till the next day. That's the day.
Or just shift every holiday back one, just like rotate them like musical chairs.
Yeah.
And then
basically
do what you're doing, because then you're prepped for the next one. Because then you're all like, oh, you're done with all that shit? Well, I'll take it. And our version is coming up, you know?
Yeah, because we're not followers. We do what we want. So I'm teaching the kids to be smart about it. Yes.
Give me that chair.
You could spend the same amount of money tomorrow and get double. Why would you not do that? I'm making sure my kids know that. Like, for Valentine's Day, we waited like a week. And then I went and spent like $15 and they got like three bags of candy. I was like, and then afterwards I was like, yeah, we did it right. And then I was like, oh shit, my kids have a lot of candy. Like, I had to think through that one. I was like, well, I could have made better choices, but it was about the deal.
The next step you got to do, because you're teaching him somewhat about economics, now just supply and demand. I sold candy to classmates in school.
Everett, oh my gosh, Everett does that. He'll be like, hey, Mom, I'm going to take this. He used to sell it, but now he's so freaking nice. He just took it to school and shared it. I'm like, ugh, worst.
That's not healthy. Well, that's like in multiple ways. Because so now kids are getting lots of sugar, and also no one's learning about economy.
They are learning just, about kindness, like, Jason. It's almost like, as valuable.
He could bag it up. He could sack it up. You could have little mixes. You could have like, you could brand it. You could be like, here's your power mix. Here's your third period power mix. And it's just like a bunch of bullshit like chocolate, but who gives a shit? It's branded.
Yeah. Who cares if it's been opened and repackaged? Do you want it or not?
Do you want this handful of half-melted hand chocolate?
Hand chocolate.
Came if it's coming from my hands.
Well,
that's why there's a kid, Blake. I'll probably see him again. He's going to be like, who knows? He'll probably be taller than me at this point because he was like a foot shorter last season. He sold salsa at the farmer's markets. And he would sell out all the time. And he was like somewhere amongst your kid's age.
Well, I think everybody is down to buy salsa. Like, you don't put it on your list, but if you see it, you're like, oh, I'll buy salsa.
Everyone's down to buy, like, candy. Yeah. Maybe.
It's true.
I don't know. Well, something.
For my kids, like, Wyatt and Everett. Oh, well, not Wyatt, because he has a July birthday, but, like, Everett, he'll have a birthday, but he's in the middle school, so you don't have, like, one classroom, so you don't take treats anymore. You don't take cupcakes, you know, stuff like that. There isn't one classroom. He's in multiple classes. He's in middle school. Well, I just get a giant bag of candy for his birthday, and then he can just hand it out to whoever he wants to. So that's pretty fun. That's cute. It's a nice surprise. It's nice. And then there's people who will take too many, and everyone will come home disappointed in people.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, Mom, I shared, and people took more than one. And I was just like, I know, bud. The world's cruel, and people are dicks. The earlier you learn that, the better.
I will show you how to build your mind scoreboard on which you will tally these bananas.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's all I do. I just tell people, I'll warn people now too. I was like, I don't know, do whatever you want, but you know, I'm judging the shit out of you. Like, I'll just let you know that.
Yeah, no judgment, judging.
No, I'll tell them, I'm judging you. Like, that's all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of a refreshing take. I wouldn't mind doing that. But they always think we're kidding, but we're not.
Nah, I'm warning them. I'm like, no, I'm not afraid to, and I do because it's I have to. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Most of you are such poor decision makers. Look at how many children you shouldn't have. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Can you take the backsies? Those like, ones are like, ugly.
Just the whole misunderstanding, the conservative Democrat dialogue, abortion dialogue, child care, the whole, like, history. We're all talking about you should learn from it, but then we can't, none of us even give a shit about what we did yesterday. Like, being accountable. We're all regressing. It's getting worse. When I was a kid,
people were really dumb. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just very disappointed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the ratio is what it is. I guess I'm mostly just disappointed in where we've landed in terms of just thought processes and stuff, because you know everyone, like most people, are followers anyway, but the nervous system, the brain cells of humanity have led us astray. We've got the internet, we've got eons of information, we've got like, we're digging up ancient cultures that we can even like if we were coming correct with our own development, we could hold it up like in Contact and be like, oh my god, oh it's 3D. Like some rich dude would be like, oh you're doing it wrong, and he'd show us and be like, oh look, when you hold it up like this, you can see stuff.
Let's look again.
We would hold up our history, compare it to reconstructions of all these other civilizations, like, oh, check it out. Yeah, they did that. Like, we should be figuring this stuff out.
Instead, did stuff better later. Yeah.
Like, they just didn't have computers, maybe. But basically, like, this is the fifth or sixth time we've tried this, guys.
Guys.
And it's the same debate. Like, I think there's no coincidence that we have a two-party system, and that in general, it's like, I think that the things fall apart when the glue or what is holding together what's remaining of society is between the haves and the have-nots. Conservatives, Democrats, liberals, Republicans, all the things that divide of people who have a lot of things they want to hold on to and are kind of ignoring the bigger picture. Yeah, the bigger picture and just society and cooperation. And then there's the people who, whether because they don't have anything or whether because they have something and they recognize the bigger picture, are are trying to share and are trying to grow the humanity as a whole, not just their own pod or their own culture or their own nation or their own.
But that's what's so shocking is there, like, you literally have these like levels of wealth, levels of access to things based on how much money you have, yada yada, and there's these like upper echelons of, you know, wealth where this is just a world that you have access to that some people don't even know exists, right? Unless they watch like a TV show or some random.
It's basically like
riches.
Having the right tool for the job, kind of right. Feels like that. Like when you have, like if you're trying to, let's say, put up, put together a house using nails. If you have like a nail gun, it's like, wow, you can make a house much faster. You actually have, you're equipped to attack larger projects, which makes it possible to equip yourself for even larger projects. That's the way finances work. And
knowledge. Being able to do that, like within your lifespan versus someone who doesn't have them has to use multiple generations to accomplish something that you can accomplish in like a smaller span.
And that's the whole thing about like social welfare too. A lot of people like to demonize certain people and say, "Oh, hey, we don't want to pay a bunch of taxes for other people to like pay for their education because they're lazy." It's like, no, we're talking about the people who have no chances. Like we're talking about the people who like basically people who didn't have parents or didn't have a chance or like they had a
shitty
upbringing.
People instead of being like, well, I don't want to help somebody else do it or I don't want to do it. We shouldn't do it.
Because some people like eventually when they're 30, they'll probably be destitute and ungrateful. But that's because we didn't help them when they were 15 and there was still a chance to change their perspective.
Yeah. Like,
all that. And I see socialism as the most selfish because if you have loved ones who you send out into society on a daily basis, you want them to be safe. So how about you fix the society so that you can trust that they'll be as safe as possible walking around in society so you educate as many people and get the crime rate down? And B, look at the ratio. Like, okay, so the ratio of you, literally you versus not you, and if you like, you could include your family, but it really it rounds back down to the same thing. It's one with a colon and then the population of the planet minus one.
Right.
That's you versus not you. So
yes. I hate those not me's. They're so ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck all. Like, okay, you should probably be looking at the ridiculous proportion of not you, and then think about this. If you believe in reincarnation or multiple lives, or even if you just have experienced deja vu, and if you look at repetition in nature and in general. Basically, I look at it as you're alive for a blink of an eye, and maybe like if you really want to be the most selfish, like if you want to max out karmic selfishness, try to fertilize humanity so that there's another you later. Try to make sure that humanity, like you could try to shape humanity in some way, leave a mark, you know, leave a resonance, so that you guarantee that hey, maybe I'll be reincarnated. Check that out. Like if I tend to the human flow, then maybe I'll pop back up again. So I look at it as like just a crazy karmic selfishness to tend to society and humans as a whole. That means that there's a chance there will be more me's in the future in perpetuity, not even just thinking about the current version of me.
Yeah, you're like, I'm so good, there should be more of me, and like later, and then like perpetually.
Well,
right.
We're all supposed to think that, and really just life is a test of nature.
Why else would
nature
we procreate?
Of,
why would
like,
we make more people that we get to mold?
why would we all be specifically designed to try to be unique snowflakes? Like, that's how you figure things out. Everyone wants to be known for something, and that's that means that we're all looking for a nook or a cranny to settle into, to discover, to flesh out, to discover and map every human thought and possibility to every single physical possibility in the universe. Like,
and there's so much more to still learn, which makes it, there's still hope. There's still exciting.
Like, that's our ego. Like the universe is endless, but so is our ego. And that's what it's for. Like our ego is to like we want to be cool. And
stroke our egos.
Totally. That just makes us do stuff. And like
to be the first to discover something, to be the first to be to be known, to be heard,
for stuff, and that's why every single obscure thing that a human can do, there's someone out there mastering it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Like, I always try to tell my kids, like, you want to make sure that they have that perspective, but then they also realize that they can make an impact. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but they can make an impact just because someone else out there is already better or doing more. Like, it doesn't mean that what you're doing in your way won't have an impact. Like, just keep doing it. Do what you do. Yeah. Like, people discover new forms of art and all these things. Like, you have a contribution to be made.
Well, and the other thing that I think, I don't know. I feel like they have in a way in that weird, like, was it Matt Damon movie where there's a delirium or exorcism?
Get to watch a lot of movies. So
the thing where the city is high above the rest of the people, the stonemasons have kind of lifted themselves up into a stratosphere that I've recognized lately. It's that they were known as the stonemasons, and all these creepy ancient societies are all around masonry because it's the most permanent. Like, from a simplistic view, it's the most permanent sort of information or intellectual genealogy that we could manifest in, like, back in history. That one's been pretty tried and true. It's the gold standard. But what they've realized, apparently, or what they've started to really lean into is it seems counterintuitive, but the fluidity of life itself is actually more permanent in an impermanent way. It's kind of like...
Life goes on with or without you, you know, yeah.
Well, like, fluid itself doesn't... It's always fluid and changing, but say you smash your hand into it hard enough, now it's violently undulating for a long time to come.
Right.
You've made your mark. So, I mean, human culture and humanity and life is fluid. Yeah, but you've got, like, Genghis Khan's, you've got Hitler's, and now you've got Republican parties and nationalism and these people in large scale starting to, instead of sculpting stone, they're sculpting humanity, and that's how they're learning that they can leave an even more lasting mark. Because even if it...
They don't care. They have no perspective on whether or not it's negative or not. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. There's a mark. And even to them, I think they're so selfish and short-sighted and egomaniacal that if the world... They would like to think that the world would end with them. Like, that's why a lot of them have, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they have end-time paradoxes.
Or global warming or... Yeah.
Well, and they actually, like... The idea of the rapture, like, in theory, I know in practice, if it actually started happening, they would shit themselves. But
yeah, I know.
in a dreamlike way, they like rape fantasies or something that is actually horrible in real life, but that you'd still have it. They have rapture fantasies where it's like, oh man, if the whole world ended and I was there for it and I went to heaven, like, how cool would that be? Like, they want to be that important. And if the world ended to make them that important, that's a trade they think they would make.
Yeah, they're like, this doomsday prepping really worked.
Well, I mean, I was talking to someone at AppleWorks who said that, like, basically in one breath, thank goodness Hillary wasn't elected. And then, we had discussions about Trump sort of scaring up some nuclear war. It's like, and then she says, well, if it's our time to go, then it's our time to go. It's like, we went from Hillary's a bitch to, well, if Trump gets us nuked, that's that. Like, what the hell? Like, how vindictive, how bitter are you? Like, where does this bitterness come from?
Well, hey.
Why are you all so ready to die for nothing?
I know. Hey, at least Hillary didn't get elected. You are not hearing her. She is being very clear.
She was being, gosh, how shrill she was. It was hard to listen to her high-pitched voice.
Gosh,
I didn't even know what she said.
Women just shouldn't talk, you know?
Yeah, she should probably just shut up or something. That might help. Maybe she tried that, she'd get elected.
Yeah, how about you just shut up?
Shut up.
I think we got into some real deep points here, and I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, we went to the deep end. Someone left some those little pool things down at the bottom that you got to go get. And I was like, oh, check that out. I'm going to go get that.
Well, and I think, honestly, I think for the most part, people are just real stupid. And it's real nice that we're real smart.
Oh.
And then I hate that the smarter that we are, like, the more that you know, you're just like, oh, no. Like, ignorance is just bliss.
I'm Googling right now.
Right now.
Weight of human nervous system, including brain.
Into two parts. Are you talking about, like, If you put, like, all your nerves in your body end to end or whatever?
3 pounds nerve cells. And wait, the average adult human brain weighs 3 pounds. How much does the nervous system weigh?
Did you look up that fact? Is that what you're doing? Did you, like they said, like if you were to put all your nerves like end to end, like it would like wrap around the earth or something stupid. And I was like, that doesn't even make sense.
I'm looking up other facts for different reasons.
Hey, I don't even.
Well, I'm just, I had a theory I came up with, well, I've been coming up with, and then I had a, I wanted to search this, so might as well do it here. Okay, the brain weighs about 3 pounds.
Okay.
But now I'm looking for, like, all the nerves.
Okay.
I said, fine, you douche. Oh, it's hidden behind. That's funny.
Oh.
Behind the Skype thingy.
Cute.
Nervous system. So tell me, like, all the nerves in your body, because I count that as brain.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, I would count that. Neurological, like, all the stuff. All the stuff that do the things. Yeah.
It's not telling me.
And, like, if I'm overweight or I put on a couple pounds, I'd be like, guys, it's my nervous system growing.
Well, I don't know. I doubt
my brain's getting bigger.
It probably wouldn't weigh more than the brain also. So
hey.
Let's just say 6 pounds total.
6 pounds.
Average. So, I mean, that's even less. I had a theory that all the thinky parts of an adult person added up and then divided by their weight would be the same ratio of success in creative endeavors and in practical endeavors and just about most, like, basically, roughly speaking, I would say, being generous, maybe, I think I've expounded these numbers here before, but, like, 10% or so, like, if you're looking at creative endeavors specifically, so say music, we'll say.
Okay.
10% of music could be classified as successful music by most of people, where they're like, yeah, that's music enough to be music. Like, that, we'll call that a good, solid music, way to music. So 10% out of all the hundreds, 100% of music, 10%
is
like,
is universal.
You really music that.
Right.
Well, at least universally
recognized.
Like, at least music enough to be disliked as music, where otherwise it would just, someone just be like, wow, you are talentless and please stop making those sounds.
Mm-hmm. I get that a lot, yeah.
So, like, 10% is worth listening to at all. Then, like, maybe 10% of that or 20% of that. So, 1 to 2% of the whole is actually good, above average, or exceptional. And then a smaller percentage of that is like, oh, man, hey, check it out. Like, David Bowie or something.
God, he's so cool. Rest in peace.
So, like, I should, like, actually analyze and get down because the numbers change
should
every
you?
Time.
Just don't do it here. My goodness. Any more numbers and
I forget,
I'm done.
I forget what numbers they always are, but sometime I'll actually chart it out. I'll chart it out the same way
do
I
kind of
charted out my political spectrum, which is now via political commentary being described. It's like the rest of political commentary is now touching my elephant.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah, get your pull.
Oh, goodness.
Which is the theory that our entire political spectrum has shifted extremely far right.
Oh, my gosh. We talked about that at one Sidcast, and every time I think about politics, I remember that because it makes a lot of sense. Like, everyone is over here fighting, and you're like, guys, you're on the same side. Like,
yeah. Yes.
And you're kind of close. Like,
and
no
I'll
one.
See references to it, which is like references to the way that it's skewed, that leftists are skewed as extreme, and then what they call a centrist now is basically just like a Republican who's kind of coming away from Trump a little bit, but it's still an asshole. Like, it's not gotten better. It's actually gotten more exaggerated under Trump. I've have put together a visual chart of that.
Do it
before.
Yeah.
No, I already have.
Oh,
but it probably needs adjusting or updating because just over the last couple of years, it's been skewed. Like, it's been pulled even further. Like,
you're like, oh, shoot, I got to go back to the drawing board, literally.
Well, just for example, that it does seem like as a precaution, because they were cautioned so much, Democrats have kind of glazed over, or just, I don't know, sane people. Let's not speak in their language. Just sane people have kind of glazed over the numerous immoral and, in many cases, probably illegal actions that the president has performed, because we're kind of like, people want to say, oh, wait for some investigations, and, you know, we don't want to appear hasty. And it's like, the guy does terrible shit every day and, like, talks terrible shit, and it is just an acid on the just the walls of America. And it's like, now we're just, we're so, like, they're so, they've just sort of overlooked so much that it's almost too late to go back and start being holding them accountable for any of it, because you've let the slack go for so long.
Yes, the slack. And then it's so funny too how all this, like, college tuition, like all of this stuff, and it's like, that's literally how Trump, like, you know what I mean, like, that's all of them, they all, like, they bought their, like, you don't even have evidence, like, there are people that were paid to cover up to make sure that nobody gets his transcripts because he didn't go. You know what I mean? And they're like, everyone's like, oh, what a shame. Even him, he's like, what a shame. Everyone's like, what a shame. And it's like, you did it. And then they're like vilifying these celebrities who did it. And I'm like, that's everyone. Well, look back at yourselves. You don't get to say that.
That's what I didn't understand when the story was breaking. I had a similar, like, visceral reaction to the Me Too when it came out. Like, people were in whispers, like, Rich people, they're paying for their kids to go to elite schools. I was like, and? Where's the, why are you guys whispering?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is new? They've made silly movies about this for years.
Yes. Are and you, it's, like, I know, they're just like, wait, did you know about this? Did anybody? Look,
did you,
yeah, no,
did
we
you know
all
that rich
knew,
people
what?
Pay to have their children go to schools? Like,
literally, the president did it. His dad did it. Like, their names are on everything. Like, that's what the president does.
That's how schools get libraries and shit. Like, it's how they get extra funding. Like, what are we? What is this?
But, like, all of a sudden, again, now, like, they're like, you got to go to. And it's funny that, like, they're making such a big deal and using, like, the celebrities as an example. But it's like, let's cover the politics and the politicians. Like, let's go turn over here. Why don't we turn this little microscope over here?
Why are we again holding entertainers to higher standards than people who actually set policy and write laws?
Yes, there we go. Thank you. Yes.
Like, I asked a question. The answer is we get deflected by enablers who are often on the conservative side of things currently. They really like to change the dialogue to other, like, what about that guy? It's like, well, he's not president, so that's why we don't give a shit.
It's like we want to talk about it, but then let's talk about, like, let's just not talk about these. Let's talk about everyone. There was like, no. No, thank you. Let's not go too far.
It's the whataboutism, double-edged sword, everything suffers from it. That the Me Too, that's what blew up the Me Too movement, was whataboutism, because it started to be validated. Like, whataboutism found fertile ground in the Me Too movement, because it was like, well, what about every dude being a creep most of the time? And it's like, oh, oops. That's what I'm warned about with the trolls.
There's things that had to change, absolutely, like, no question.
For sure, but but we had to really adjust our standard, like, because at first it started out with, it quickly devolved into, like, just, you know, there's no manual, again, the socialism, not everyone gets taught the right lessons, and there's no manual on proper behavior, so a lot of times it's trial by fire, and guys are the sexually aggressive ones. So, yeah, normal guys do creepy stuff, especially when they're young. It happens, unfortunately. And
they're not trained, they don't know. If they don't have a guiding system, they're...
And they'll train themselves, and I think that a lot of that got caught up into the old Me Too hopper. I think since then we've kind of dialed it down, because, you know, like, the Al Frankens and the folks, and then seeing how unaccountable Republicans oftentimes are, we're like, hang on, we have to adjust our standard here, because we can't, because guys are creepy, and apparently creepy guys are so creepy they, like, won't even admit to being creepy, so we can't get the creeps out, because they'll creep from the creepiness.
Well, yeah, because you gotta, like, there has to be some grace. Obviously, this is not excusing the big things, the big people, like, none of that. But, like, you have to, like, have some grace for people who just literally don't know no better, because, like, nobody teached them.
It's like the death penalty for crime. You don't want to just start punishing everybody who you don't like with it. You want to apply it to monsters and then apply lower penalties to people who didn't mean so much harm. Yeah. You know, they just made a mistake, or they didn't know no better before. Think about how much crime is committed just out of ignorance, and how many people, like, I wonder,
or
you know,
poverty,
think about,
like,
this, like, I've never heard about anyone saying this statistic, where, like, the number of people who actually try a drug and keep doing it is actually not so high. What about the number of people who try crime and then stop? I don't hear about that. The number of one-time criminals who are like, ooh, I don't like that. Never mind.
Yeah, because, it's true. Like, okay, so I robbed a bank, but I don't want to do it anymore. I'll get the money back. I get it now. You know, it's like, you didn't. You're a criminal. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, sometimes that is true.
but I do hear a lot, like, people like to oversimplify it and use it for every occasion. We're like, if you kill, you're a killer. And I'm like, okay, well, what about soldiers? Huh? Mm-hmm. Is an American soldier coming back from war? Is he a murderer? Are soldiers murderers? Oh, if you kill, you're a killer. Oh, it's not so cut and dry. Racism isn't black and white. So I don't understand. Like, death culture in America, if we want to keep going deep, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, people, speaking of rapture porn, there's death porn too, or like, there's hero death porn. There's people like, yeah, you want to come into my house? I'll shoot you dead. It's like, okay, all right. Well, if that actually happens, then afterward, and you successfully protect your family, afterward, you will now have the image in mind of you holding up a gun, aiming it at another human being, seeing their eyes looking at you, and then watching the bullet go into their body, and then watching the blood leave their body, them dying, the crying sounds of your family, all the horror surrounding all that, and we're all like, yeah, kill him, yeah, intruder. It's like, okay, yes, I get protecting your family. But this fascination with killing, you shouldn't be stoked to murder. You shouldn't be fantasizing about killing somebody to protect your family. That's not right.
No, that's like Anthony said. He's like, you know, if you have a gun to protect your home, you hope to never use it. And if someone's like on your property and they want to steal stuff and you come home and you find them, their life is not worth your stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so they take your stuff. It's different if they're obviously here to kill you. Like,
yeah, you should, like, warning shots are excellent. Yes. And, like, and just, you know, I think I would like, I don't know how to, if I could invent a taser that fires, that operates exactly like a gun, i.e. it's got basically Bluetooth or Wi-Fi bullets, quote unquote, that I think would actually be, it would be a little goo ball, like a paintball that gels to whatever. And then, it's a wet ball with an electrode in the middle that's Wi-Fi'd up so that you've got two triggers, one to shoot your little gel balls and another one to activate them.
Like activation, yeah.
Yeah, so you can hold down the activator, then just fire the trigger, shoot it like a gun so you can hit, you can incapacitate just as many people with just like a clip, as a regular gun. And then, so afterwards, it's like, oh, it turns out it was just a soccer team of midgets. Oh, good thing. I thought I was being attacked by satanic demon monkeys.
Demon babies.
Wearing shin guards for protection. Very, very small shin guards.
Oh, my gosh. No, but it's so true. Like, you just want the threat immobilized or neutralized.
Exactly.
And until you figure out, and then it doesn't put you on the fence for... my whole life changed now in a moment. Yeah. I wasn't sure what to do, so I just did it, which is also what cops have to do every single day. Yeah. Like, they just don't know, and they get scared. They're still humans, but you don't get to use fear and now change someone's life because you killed them. Like, there's no takesy-backsies on that, and it's crazy because we're sitting here watching The Rookie, such a good show, we love it so much, but they use, like, body cam footage, and they show all these angles, and you're like, it's gotta be and scary to be a cop. Like, I don't, like, and they don't get near enough training. We've talked about that before, but it's like,
well,
the scenarios.
Really, well, think about the escalation of this person's doing a thing that's not necessarily lethal, threatening bodily death to them or myself, but I've got a gun. I'm willing to up this ante. Like, now you have to decide if you're going to kill somebody.
Yep.
Like, that's literally what has to go through your mind when you bust out a gun, mm-hmm. I think for cops mm-hmm. too and everything. And it's just, I don't think people understand what the, I don't understand, but I know that I don't understand, that I can't even fathom what that mindset is like. And then the decision making, if you have a non-lethal that works exactly the same way, you take that circuit out of the equation, so now you don't even have to think about that. When you fire it, you know you won't hurt anybody permanently, so now it's more like a squirt gun, or closer to a squirt gun, where you're more likely to use it correctly, to use it without freaking the fuck out. And then if you use it incorrectly, like you said, your life hasn't changed. There aren't those crazy ramifications. You can just say like, oh, whoops, my bad, mulligan. I'll pay whatever reparations there need to be for inconveniencing you, but nobody's dead or injured. Let's get on with our lives. Like, I don't know why we can't all start to head toward a direction more like that. It's crazy to me.
Well, and exactly. And that's like, I think we may have brushed on this before a couple epidudes ago.
We might have brushed up against this on the subway before.
but
you're on your way to work.
But the stop it. I can't remember, Dave Chappelle or Chris Rocker. It was a comedian who was like, make bullets $500. You know what I mean? Like, make ammunition more expensive, because then you'll think twice about shooting someone, because you're like, are they worth $500? And obviously a human life is worth so much more money, but you should at least think twice before doing it. Like, you want to have that, like...
Well, actually, if they did treat bullets a little bit more like a controlled substance, mm-hmm. like with a couple of different restrictions here and there, that's not a bad idea. Like, it's more expensive, except, you know, at a gun range, it's free. Let's say that. That's where you make up your money, because it costs so much at home, you don't have to sell it at a gun range, because you want people to shoot a whole bunch at gun ranges and train with it. So let's say that in certain, like, a gun lounge instead of a gun range, it's a gun lounge. You just go to this place. It's all about guns and shooting guns. You can shoot as much as you want there.
People want to do that, and they do want to be prepared, and that's okay. Nobody's telling you you can't have guns.
Well, you should be.
Yes.
You have to get a license for a car. You have to get a license to drive a semi truck. You have to get licenses to cut hair and to be a doctor and lots of different things that are very specific and can hurt people. But not like you said, we just need better laws, because there's more people bouncing off of each other in more different ways. It's hard to monitor all of them, even
with the
internet.
And people are angrier now, and so they're quick. Like,
there's meds all over the place. Yeah, what? Like prescriptions. We're in a epidemic crisis of prescription meds.
Yes,
and
people are loaded up. You know what I mean? They're ready to pop off.
Wait, how much? Which medications do you think are lobbying? Like, I mean, inside people's brains for guns. Like, you know, like a parasite will hijack insects and make them, like, go find birds. Be like, hey, eat me. I wonder which medications are actually getting up into gun nuts' brains and being like,
gun nuts.
More guns. Do more guns.
You and know, like, they're going to make you feel
like,
big.
More like guns. Xanax or something is probably one that's specifically like, yes to guns. And then there's another one that's like, Satan massages your feet at night. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that's why I have such good circulation, I guess.
I think it really starts in your feet.
It's really the drugs you're taking that also whisper to you. That's like, it just explains itself in a different way.
Well, and like, I mean, that's why we have all these incidences now of like road rage, people shooting people out of road rage. Like, I cannot imagine when you come down from that rage, and people don't have rage management. In fact, it's worse, because we're tapping out. We're looking at computers and social media. Like, no one's connecting to themselves. And it doesn't feel real until it's real.
Well, we're missing a corollary too, I think, by literally just not saying web rage. I've heard people express the notion of people being very aggressive online and everything, but I think if you think about web rage, but think about what a car is, and then the adrenaline, like why people are more antsy in cars, because you are in a life or death situation when you're driving on an interstate or something. So your senses are heightened, and you're a little bit, your hairs are on end a little bit. So that's why you're kind of a little antsy. So we can kind of explain the physical, emotional connection there. And then you got web rage. And part of the car thing is you're protected in your own little world. You can scream at people and they can't hear you.
Oh, and so you I can do. Just,
yeah. So you can just let it loose. And I think on the internet, there's a conversion of that, but there is web rage, and I think in addition to the prescriptions and the meds changing people's perception and what they say, there's also just the internet itself, the window through which we're speaking. It lends itself very easily to its own rage, and I don't hear anyone, I've never even heard anyone say web rage but myself. I don't think I'm the only person who said it or thought of it, but I think that we're not talking about it nearly as much as we should be. Like, because it's profound. The enabling force of the internet. It the way it magnifies voices that are very minorities. They're minorities, but they seem just as as regular as
they get just as much attention. That's why you get these stupid articles about stupid things. And you're
exactly.
Like, who's talking about this? Like, there was something the other day. I'm trying to remember what it was. I was like, it was an article about something. And they're like, hey, somebody left hateful comments about this. And you're just like, so you're now magnifying that they did this? Don't even write anything about it. Like, why? Why did you give them the glorification? Don't talk about it. That's so stupid. Well, somebody said something real, real mean, and this person put this out there, and they just weren't expecting that. And it's like, how is this a thing?
I would say that's actually probably the moral version of, like, virtue signaling is the moral version of the creative thing I was talking about earlier, where we're basically designed to try to explore every advantageous moral position possible. And unfortunately, that means that no matter what the situation, someone will always try to, like, one-up you or try to leverage the morality of it to go higher than you are, to drop you down lower, like a little teeter-totter. Just like, oh, you're down there now. I think that it's kind of the same curiosity that makes us invent shit. We invent things to be offended about. Just be like, is this a good thing to be? Like, should we be offended like this? And then, like, all these social justice things that are coming out and then getting squashed. It's like, no, that's stupid to be. If you shouldn't shut up about
like,
that.
Literally,
shut the hell up.
Don't even be offended. Like, stop. Like, because, yeah, now we have everyone who's, and I get it. Like, there's, it's so funny. There's things that, like, you know, like, diehard Republicans and their stances. There's things that I agree. I think people are way too sensitive. Just because I'm not a Trump supporter doesn't mean that some things that you say aren't true. I get it. Like, we're more alike than we are different. So, like, why are you, like, don't allow them to divide
us. Well, and just like realizing that when you say, like, they're sensitive, like, you're not, like, stop mistaking like, to your point, I think, connective human commonalities with one-sided political arguments.
Exactly.
Like
yes.
blaming of like, basically the way that populism or that, like, dictators work is just blaming everything on the other people, and all the problems are the other people, and we are the good, and they are the bad.
Yes.
And
makes it so easier, that's why, simpler.
Yeah, super simple. Instead of just admitting that we are all fuck ups and we all fuck up and we're all trying to stop that.
Maybe you do.
Actually, like, pretty perfect, and I got all my shit together. Like, I think
I collected
you're bringing
it in
me down.
Jars, so it's all together.
Yeah, no, I have it all for since I was 3 years old.
But it's so funny. Like, if you sit here and you wade through the noise and distill the information down and all of the, like, arguments and back and forth, and it's like, you just can't admit that you make mistakes. Just say it. Say, I make mistakes. Not perfect, and neither are they, but they are not your problem, and they are not why you don't have a job. You just don't want to do that job. Like, no one's taking your jobs. Like, these are all fear-based things of, like, like, our country is literally founded by immigrants. The only people who aren't immigrants are the Native Americans. Like, that is it. And the fact that you're just like, well, everything before now was okay, but now it's not, and they're a problem. And this is what the problem is. And you just want our country to be overrun. It's like, if they come legally like everybody else,
I've got a new name for those people. They're not ladder kickers. They're ladder shooters. They actually pull the ladder up, take it apart, and fashion the parts into projectiles that then fire back at the people who are trying to climb up the ladders.
That's like the two, like Trevor Noah said, one of his favorite stories of 2019 so far is that people in Mexico were taking the materials from the wall and using it to protect their own homes. And he was just losing it in laughter. And that's so ironic. Like, Trump's wall is being taken apart by people on the other side and used, and they're, like, reusing it for themselves. And it's just like, wow. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of wow.
No, yeah, it goes to show you how obtusely Trump's way of thinking fits into reality.
Oh, and there's a funny video that Wyatt found. I'll have to figure out a link for it and send it to you. And it's a guy, you know, portraying a Trump supporter, a typical, you know, very far-reaching one, and he's like, and the guy just asks him, it's kind of like a documentary style, quick little snippet comedy, and he's like, so this is a ladder, and he's like, does Trump know about this? what is this? You know what I mean? It's just the funniest thing where you're just like, all right, okay, yep. It's just, it completely debases all these theories and all this stuff. And it's just like, how can you not have logic?
The thing that I thought was specifically funny about it was when I looked at the design that they settled on after all the hoopla, the slats design with the cap on the top, all you need is a rope. Like normally a wall, you would need a ladder, but specifically because they went with the slats, all you would need is a rope. You wouldn't even need a grappling hook because you need like if you brought a rope.
I know, for a normal wall, everyone turns into Batman.
Well, you need a hook. You need an anchor. You need like the end of a hoe or something. Just like throw it over there. It hooks on something. No, because of the dumbest design Trump could have chosen, you get a rope that you can get anywhere in the world. You could make out of a tree. You just throw the rope over, grab the other side, grab both sides, and then haul your ass up. It's the like. It is the easiest wall to climb over possible. Like it's the dumbest wall ever. It's like literally every answer that Trump gives is the dumbest. Like I don't know how no one's caught onto that yet. Like it's not just that it's wrong or bad. It's that it's like the dumbest one.
And he proudly puts his chin up and smiles and looks at the eclipse. You know, and he's like, He's pretty proud of himself.
That's his whole power, you know? Is that he's 6'2", he's got broad shoulders, and he's not afraid. He doesn't know that he's a jackass. He's completely unaware.
I wouldn't say broad, but, yeah.
He's got big shoulders.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not afraid. I'm not shying away. Like, that's his power. He's a big, bulky dude.
He's definitely bulky.
That's all he's got, and that's what a bunch of monkeys respond to. That's, like, the worst.
Hey, the people
who are bowing down to him, that's the worst traits of humanity responding to like our worst instincts, which is, oh, big monkey, very confident, must respect. It's like, fuck that. This is the 21st century. We have computers.
Oh my God, guys, grow up, honestly.
Yeah. No, I think if there's any billionaire investors listening, hit me up, HMU. I got I've said it's going to be, it's like, you know, the older you get, now it's going to be close to a decade. I've been saying that. We're looking at a very the internet is not, we're not seeing the internet the way it really is, or the way we could be seeing it through a more accurate, more insightful, more bird's eye lens. We're still looking at tweets and pages and words and text, and you don't get an idea of how big things are. You get there's no sense of scale to the internet.
Nope.
And
we talked about before. It's infinite. It feels infinite.
No, you can. I've got the plans. That's what I'm saying. Billionaire investors, hit me up. We will make it. It's sitting here. It's just sitting here. We'll make it.
Guys,
I don't have any money.
I'm right here.
I'm terrible at business and taxes and shit like that. Got this crap laying around. It would revolutionize data information, but you know, whatever.
But whatever. No, it's fine. That's great. Fine. That's a perfect thing to end on. You're awesome. I'm awesome. Everyone else who we don't know.
Suck it.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I'll grab that ratio that I put so much stock in earlier, and I'll just kick the shit out of that giant number to the other side of it. Like, get out of here, you loser. Get big. Go get tough, and then maybe come back. See what's up.
Get some shoulders and then come back.
See what's up. Yeah, get yourself some shoulders and a presidency. Steal the presidency and some shoulders and come talk to me.
Okay.
Okay, good. Three, two, one.
Okay. Yes.